loose. I got an announcement Brenda wanted me to make. There's going to be a dinner right after service, and she said just everybody go over and sit down at the table, and they'll be dismissed by table, and they'll have prayer over there. She said everybody's welcome because she said they had plenty of food over there. So she wanted everybody can just come over and enjoy themselves right after service.
So. Fundraiser for what?
It's a fundraiser for J.T. Koontz Gospel Center.
Now, you don't have to pay to come eat. Okay, but what this is for is we have this thing once a year in memory of my dad, and I get professional groups to come in here, and they're not cheap. We don't charge for our concerts, so we use this money to help pay and fund it to try to be self-sufficient. So if you can give I don't care if it's a dollar, every little bit helps, but if you can give something, that's great, and if you can't, that's great too. Come and eat anyway. And the group that I sing with, we're called Inheritance. We'll be singing for you today as you eat. So get a little bit of music too. But this year, October the 12th, Saturday night, 6 o'clock. If you're a Southern Gospel fan, you'll know who I'm talking about. I was able to get Karen Peck and New River to come here. So I'd like for you to come eat and give me some money because they're not cheap, okay?
Travel through the water.
Bless you, buddy.
I can take you to the place.
Bless you, Steve.
February 1973, the Lord saved me.
Amen.
I was no good rotten sinner, I tell you right now. I was no good person. But I thank him that night. I thank God for the ones that invited me to church that night, revival meeting over in Ravenswood. I've been searching for weeks trying to find a way.
Yeah.
I read the Bible. Always went to the book of Revelation, of course. You know, you never understand any of them before you're saved. I couldn't find help. Mm-hmm. Well, thank God. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, invited us to church last Friday night of revival. The Lord got a hold of my heart.
Looking
forward to that night and said, I'm with my Savior. I can take you to the place. I know the time.
Yeah.
Those folks that it happened to you, you were there and it happened.
Yeah. You know.
You won't know it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It may be Christ, a new creation. Old things pass away. All things. All things become
this. That's right.
Can't have half the world and half Christ. You got to have them all.
That's right. Yeah.
Bless God. I praise him this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Already been blessed through the Sunday school hour. What the Lord is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing.
Sure.
Go ahead this morning. I thank you for his love and grace and his mercy.
Yeah.
I pray for my children, if you would, too. My boys are not with me.
Bless
you. Talked to one of them last night, the youngest. You say he's faithful in church, played piano boys. Now he's not living where he needs to be living. Heading off to New Zealand today. I pray somebody down there will talk to him.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Right.
Way down there.
Yeah.
Right.
Bless you, Steve.
He's one of these world traveling kind of guys. Heartbreaks for him.
Sure.
But I pray. I know it. There's somebody there in New Zealand or even on the plane.
That's right. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Somebody that can say something. Just one little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That'll bring something to his remembrance.
Amen.
Yeah. God is God and he's saved.
Yes.
Pray for
him.
Amen.
102.
Oh,
right, get your hymnal turned to 258 as the choir goes down. 258.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, in a point of jubilee under in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all the heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the hymns will ring. Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. All the heavenly hosts we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Amen. What a day that'll be. Man, there'll be some singing and shouting over there, won't there? Is everybody minded the Spirit of the Lord this morning? Does anyone have a testimony? Bless you.
We had 24 people in high school Sunday school class this morning.
Amen.
Bless you, Michael.
I shouldn't get choked up about that, but you stop and think about that. And that was counting me. So we had 23 kids that came to church this morning to hear about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Bless you, Michael. Amen. He wanted.
That's us cooked.
Yeah.
That's us cooked. Amen. Boy, that ought to make anybody shout.
Amen.
Sad reality, Donnie. There's churches out there this morning that don't have that many people in the whole world.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
Well, Donnie, I want to stand here. So, Lord, you know, a couple weeks ago, I got a call that my cousin was in the hospital and he looked good. I was in Arizona and I told my cousin, I said, oh, who's praying for her? Put her on Facebook, you know, because I can't do anything for her. And I got to see her this week. We can see her on the toilet.
Amen.
Praise God. She told me she'd gotten saved.
No, amen.
I didn't know that she'd been saved. She's such a changed creature. I mean, I know she got it.
Yeah.
She said that the psychiatrist she, her white blood cell count was like 7,000. Well, she had sepsis, and now it's down about 500. But I just want to praise God.
Amen.
Yeah.
She said God does a miracle every day, and I said, yeah, He does.
Amen.
He does a good one on you, you know. And I just feel like that's worthy of
praise.
Amen. God, you know?
Sure.
Because once she got saved, because I really thought I was going to witness to her when I went up there. Two, she's doing well. She's probably going to be home in a few days. And I just want to praise God for that. He is so good, you know.
Amen. Amen.
And another thing, I am so needy. When I have so much to do, I just, my brain doesn't work very well. And I went to town this week. Well, first I got down about 2 miles and remembered I need to go back to the house and get a couple of things. And then I had to tell somebody that I was going to have to evict them and didn't pay the rent. And then I got my stuff and I loaded up and I got the Lowe's and I went to go in and get my paint. Well, I didn't even have my phone, my credit card, or anything. The driver's like, I had nothing. And I said, Lord, I have $26 here, and I know with the military discount that I can get that gallon of paint I need to finish this job for $5 more. Tell me, show me somebody in here. Give me $5. I can take $5. I don't have to go back home and get this done later. But anyway, first person I walked through the door, customer service, is one of my classmates. And he says, Barb, how you doing? I said, well, not too good.
Bless you, Barb.
And he said, what's wrong? And I told him, he said, well, I got money. And I said, I'll pay you back. He said, well, I'll give you $10. I said, no, I just need $5. I said, but I only have my ID or anything, so I might need more, but hang around. So anyway, got my paint. He hung around with me. I told the girl what happened. She said, just give me your phone number. I don't need your ID. And then I got down there, and I spilled the paint, and I had to roll my ankle, and I was stepping it all over my fresh paint. And I said,
Bless you,
Barbara. And I was trying to get it cleaned up, and I had to
really stop
and just pray, you know?
Sure.
I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I've had a rough morning, but you know, we're healthy. My kids are healthy. You protect us every day, and you made a way for me to get this paint. Now, I'm going to quit grumbling, and I'm going to get this paint job done with your help. And He got me through it.
Amen.
Amen.
He's a good God.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Donnie, I've got a praise report this morning. I've asked you to pray for my friend Jeff Honecker. Well, he's doing well.
Amen.
And the best thing about it, his dad's been posting on Facebook and everything, and they've been giving God all the glory for it. And, you know, a couple years ago, his dad wouldn't have done that, and it's good to see. You know, God getting the glory for that whole
situation.
Amen.
And I appreciate the church for their prayers and just wanted to praise God for that.
Amen.
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 You know, Donnie, sometimes you wonder why you have to do that. And I've always said that God has a sense of humor, period. And it seems like the past couple of weeks, my family's just been hit left and right. That's okay. You got to keep on going.
Yeah.
So Friday night, we ended up in the ER like that. And, thank God, it's just kidney stone. But in the process of getting there, we get mom out the door, and she's still wanting to go. Well, she falls in, and I'm thinking, Lord, it's fine. We're sorry you want to ER. We can get her checked out today. But Lord willing, we got her up, and we just think she may have torn a muscle. But we were in there and out of there in about 4 hours. And this is how God works sometimes. He gives you something to laugh at.
Yeah.
I promise you. We walked out of the ER about 3 o'clock Saturday morning, and I turn around and look, and there's a person sitting in the ER, dressed as a pirate. And I know that, so, but God knew we needed a relief. he has a sense of humor, but he has to be laughing at me most of the time because I don't listen. But I just wanted to thank him in front of everybody for taking care of my mom and dad.
Amen.
Yeah.
He brought my nephew home from Colorado to see his other grandmother. She's in hospice now. But he seemed fit for them to get here and then back to Colorado yesterday. I just had to thank him. We may have our
issues.
And we may get up every day and say, okay, God, what is it?
Yeah.
But we got to make sure God's on our side.
Right.
We can get Satan out the front door. And I know I told somebody that this week. I said, you're facing a lot. Physically get up and open the door and tell him to get out. That's all we got to do.
Sure.
Go down your window and tell him to get out. We don't have time. But I just want to let you know, God's always there.
Yeah.
He will make
Bless you, baby. Anyone else this morning? Okay, if not, Brother Rob. Brother Al, would you ask the Lord to be upon
us? Father, we thank you. We're in your presence.
Sure.
In order to hear, and I pray that you touch your servant. Give us ears to hear, our Father, and mind to move. Our Father, accept it. Lord God, to walk, Father, closer to you after the service today. In Christ's name.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 20. Psalms chapter 20. Now, this is one that I had a few months ago and didn't get to preach it. I told you I'd preach it sometime. So we're going to preach it this morning, but I've also studied it on a couple of different times since then, but I haven't updated what we're doing for the monitor, so I apologize to them up there. I may not go exactly with what's on the monitors, but that's what would have been in the original one, so we're going to keep it because it all ties together and plays together. Like, just like God's Word, it all works together. We're going to talk about building blocks. We're going to talk about building blocks this morning because we need to... let's just read Psalms chapter 20. Psalms chapter 20 says this: "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright." Now I thought as I was reading that, so many things in there that the psalmist tells us that God does for us. That God does for us. So let's look at it real quick. Hear, in first verse, hear, defend, send, strengthen, remember, accept, grant, save, hear, fulfill. Now, all that is stuff that God does for us. All that is stuff that God does for us to remember. So, we're going to do something. While I'm preaching, so we're going to talk about building memory blocks of victory. Building blocks of victory in our memory. So that as we go through life, we can have these. And when we build these, it's got to be things that God has done for you and for me. It's got to be things, times of victory, times of power, times that God helped us get through, times that God broke through, times that God fulfilled, times that God made happen what we needed to happen. So while I'm preaching about building memory blocks, building blocks of victory, someone's going to be building blocks for you. So that in life, when life happens, and as we go down through this life, as we're thinking about this, here, go ahead and do it on this right here. There you go. So as we go through life, you can and I can remember two things. As life happens, and it does happen. Life happens to everybody, good, bad, and indifferent. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Good happens to everybody, bad happens to everybody, whatever happens to everybody. But as we go through life, we can remember these building blocks, this tower over here that's going to be standing while we're talking, so that when you're in life and things are happening and the devil is fighting you, that you can remember, hey, there was a time where somebody was building a Lego tower while somebody was preaching about building memory, building blocks of victory, so that I can remember what God did for me in the past. And we think about when God hears us and God saves us and God defends us and God accepts us and God provides for us, so that we can go through life and we can say, hey, I know times are bad. I know things are bad. But I remember when God did this for me. I remember when God pulled me through. I remember when I was having a bad day and he stuck a pirate right in the emergency room. Yeah. for no other reason but I needed that. I remember when I shouldn't have made it through, but I did. I remember when. But we've got to build those blocks of memory, those building blocks to stand on. And we've got to build it high. And we've got to build it strong. And build it massive. And the more he's done for you, the more blocks you have. But I think we tend to forget about him. We tend to not remember what he's done. We tend to just go, okay, thank you. And half the time, I don't think we even give praise like we should to him for what he does. We don't stand up and tell everybody about it. You know, we had a preacher's meeting not last week, and we were talking about testifying, and Al says to us, what is a testimony? And a testimony, as our definition was, telling people what God did for you. But we got to remember what God did for us in order to tell people what God did for us. But that's what we need to do, is remember. Remember what God has done in our past. Remember what God has done for you individually. Not just us, the church as a whole, but you individually. So I want to go through, and I just want to go to four different building blocks to let you know that God wants you to know and wants you to remember what he's done for you. So that tomorrow, when that battle comes, you can look back to today and go, oh, I remember when you brought me through that. You can get me through this. I remember when so-and-so stood up and told us about the time you brought them through this exact same thing, so I know you can get me through this. So we've got to put those building blocks up so that we can go back into our memory and we can think, oh, okay, so my first building block is this. God is watching over you. God is watching over you. Now, God is watching over everybody, everybody. But I want you to take this sermon to yourself individually. I want you to look at the person beside you and say, I love you. But this one's for me. All right? Look at the person on the other side and say, I love you, but this one's for me. All right? Now, so this is for you, not that person. So don't you think about that person over there and go, well, he needed that. She needed that. I hope they were listening when Rob said that. Now, well, you should be listening. I should be listening. Just keep going. There you go. Just keep stacking them up. Keep stacking them up. Just straight up. One on top of one. Just put them up in as high as you can go. All right, so Genesis chapter 9 tells us this. God put a rainbow in the sky. God is always watching over you. And I emphasize always, because he is always, never is he not watching over you. God is always walking around, going around, looking at you, looking for you. And what the Bible says, and you know the story, Noah, the flood, right? The Bible says, this is what the Bible says, that God saw the wickedness of man that was great on earth. Every imagination of thought in his heart was evil continually, and it grieved God. So I want you to think about the rainbow a little bit different now, okay? What do you think when you think, what does the rainbow mean? Promise not to flood. Right, but I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to take a twist on it, all right? I don't want you to think of that God will never flood us again. You know that, all right? You know that. But now, you got to take them straight up. Just one, right on top of the other, all right? Like this, all right? Because there's a reason it's going to get taller than you, all right? It's going to get taller than me. It's going to get taller than Mr. Tim over there on the front row. All right, so think about it like this. God didn't promise us that he won't destroy the earth only. God destroyed evil in that day. God destroyed evil. The Bible says that God looked at the earth and saw that all the earth, all the people's minds and hearts were evil. And said, I repented and I'm going to just destroy them all. I'm going to get rid of evil. I'm going to wash evil off the face of the earth to where evil will not be around anymore. So the Bible says that he did that. He washed all the evil. But the Bible says, but Noah found grace. Amongst all the evil people in this world, amongst all the evil that was going on, one man found grace. One man walked with God. One man talked with God. One man served God. And in that moment, God said, I'm going to destroy them all, but I'm not going to destroy the one that's following me. I'm not going to destroy the one that's walking with me. So God destroyed all the evil, but he saved his people. So when we go to look at the rainbow, think about it this way. God destroyed the evil, but saved his people. Now, he'll never flood again the whole earth, but he will always destroy evil and save his people. As long as you're one of them. So go back and think about it. That when things were bad and when things are rough, sometimes it feels like the world is getting worse. It feels like the world is, it feels like the world sometimes is prospering. So that the ones who follow the devil prosper, but the ones who follow God aren't. Isn't that the way it seems sometimes? Sometimes it feels like we're doing the right thing, but the world is all against us. And that's true. The world is all against you if you're one of God's. But sometimes it does appear that those that follow God aren't doing as well as those that don't follow God. Those that walk after the world are making a better run in this life. But listen, David felt the same way. He said in Psalm 73, he said, I was envious when I looked at the foolish and I saw the prosperity of the evil, of the wicked. He said, I looked around and I saw how good they had it and how not good we had it. All right? But then he goes on to say this, until I came in to the sanctuary of God. Amen. Until I came in to church. So listen, when you're having a bad time, when life's not easy, when life's going rough, when you think everything's falling down around you, when it feels like everybody's against you and the world's against you, just remember this, if it feels too bad, go to church. If it feels too bad, go to church. Find a church somewhere. If we're having service, go to church. Why? Because this is where God will edify you. This is where God will lift you up. This is where God will strengthen you. This is where God will pick you up. This is where God will fulfill your need and supply your need. Because right here in church is where you can see and hear and feel the Spirit of God and see how He's moving. And know this, that when He's out there, when the devil's out there and things aren't going well, remember, God's eyes. We might need some help. So remember, the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those who He can make Himself strong, those whose hearts is perfect towards Him, that He might deliver them. And we take over for somebody else. That's part of it. When things get too hard for you and for me. Thank you. You can go sit down. When things get too hard for you and for me, that's where we step in and help somebody out, right? He knew what to do. He knew he didn't need to be there. He knew that. So, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking someone who loves Him so He can show Himself strong for them. You need some strength in your life? Jesus said, I'll be that for you. My eyes go everywhere. My eyes go all around. My eyes are looking for you. If you're in trouble, if you're having a bad time, if you're having a hard time. He said, my eyes will do this. Listen, God put Himself building blocks of memory. Right? That rainbow. You know what God said about the rainbow? This is what God said. God said, I do set the bow in the clouds as a token of my covenant. Do you know every covenant needs a token? Every covenant needs a form of exchange. You know what used to be the exchange in America? A handshake. Right. Handshake used to mean done deal. Handshake used to mean done deal. Handshake now means nothing. But it used to be if you shook my hand, what you just said was going to happen, it was going to happen. What you said you would do, you would do. God said, I put that up there. Listen to what He said to you. He said, as a covenant, as a token of my covenant, I will look on it and I will remember my everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh. So God said, I put things out there for me to remember, and I put things out there for you to remember. So first building block is God is always watching over you. Second building block, God will deliver you. God will deliver you. Exodus 17 talks about a time when Moses told Joshua to go pick some men and go fight. Go pick some men and go fight. Now here's what happened. You can do it, brother. You got this. You got this. Building blocks. Remember, high and mighty. High and mighty. High, mighty. So Moses says, Joshua, go get you some men, go fight the Amalekites, Amalekites, Amazites, Amjites, whatever. They're Ams. And the wall came tumbling down. Oh, well.
The last of the memories.
Right there they are. Right here they are. And they won't even stay there. So Moses says to Joshua, go get some men and go fight. And the Bible said that while they were fighting, Moses raised his hands. And while his hands were raised, they won. They were winning. So while his arms were up, the Bible says that they were winning. They were beating the Amalekites, whatever they're called, the enemy. But when Moses dropped his hands, that they were losing. Wouldn't you like it to be so easy that to win a fight, someone had to just stand there and do that, and when they did that, you won? Wouldn't that be nice? Now, I hope you're not in a fight ever, but if you were in a fight, if your friend could just stand there and do that, and you'd win, I'd be like, dude, don't let your hands go down, because I don't want to get beat up. But anyway, we are in a fight daily. We are in a fight daily. So the Bible says that as long as he had his hands raised, that they won, and they went down, that they lost. So he got tired a little bit, right? He got tired because, everybody put your hands up. Just keep them up. All right, so Exodus tells us this, right? So they were fighting, and he had the help of God as long as Moses was doing what he did. Why? Because Joshua was doing what he was told to do. He was doing what God said, go fight. So he was going to fight. So he went and fought, and he was doing everything God said. And as he was winning, as he was losing, he was getting help from Moses. But God said it like this, as long as you're doing my will, I'll be there fighting for you. But remember this, that your adversary, because you're in a fight. Do you ever feel like you're in a fight? Anybody who ever feels like you're in a fight with the devil, raise your hand. Good, because you should be. Right? See where I had that planned out. Do you ever feel like you're just in a knockdown, drag-out fight with the devil? I mean, sometimes the devil kicks my butt. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes the devil just kicks my butt, and I don't like that, but he does. But he's out there. The Bible says, he's my enemy. He's your enemy. But as God's people, we're fighting against him. So the Bible says he's out there. He's your adversary. He's the devil as a roaring lion running around seeking whom he may devour. He has to get permission. He can't just beat you if you're one of God's. But you can let him win. You can let him take the victory. And there are times when the devil takes the victory. He finds out what you're weakest at and where your point of weakness is. And he goes after that. And sometimes the devil wins. But God... See, right there, that's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 5:8. See, I'm catching up to it. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary. Did you get that? Your adversary. The devil. As a roaring lion. He's not even a roaring lion. He's just like a big loud-mouthed roaring lion. But it says, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. And he's out there trying to get you, and he's out there trying to get me, and he knows how to fight, and he knows how to battle. But in Ephesians 6, God said, here's my armor. I know you are out there fighting. I know you are out there, and the devil is against you. I know the devil's going to be fighting everything he's got to come at you. But I'm going to help you. In Ephesians 6, he tells me this. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He says, I give you help from head to toe. From head to toe. He says, I give you a helmet all the way down through the breastplate and the girdle and the feet and the shield and the sword. And he said, I'm going to do this. For you remember that we've got this armor. Remember that when you're going through the battle that I've got this provided for you. Remember that the Bible says that you can take that shield of faith and that with it you can be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked because the devil is going to be throwing them out there at you. What are they? They're different. Man, if I could tell you exactly what the devil was going to throw at you, I would. But I can't because I don't know your weakness. I don't know your weakness. You know what? The devil don't know your weakness until he figures it out. And one day, he figures it out. And that's a dart he throws at you. And he throws these darts and these trials and these temptations and these battles. And they come at you. But God says, I know that you've got those. This was supposed to go on top. This cute little dog was supposed to represent you and me, but he didn't make it that far. That's you and me. Remember a tower. Build a tower. build building blocks in your memory. In your memory. So he says, I will give you this armor. I will protect you. I will be there if you will, because the devil's going to throw it at you, and he's going to try to figure out. And when he figures out, and if you have one weakness, if he figures out you have two weaknesses, he's going to throw that at you. Now, the Bible says this, the Lord your God, the Lord your God, this won't be up there. Says this in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. He goes with you. Always with you. Not only is his eyes roaming around, he's roaming around. It says, goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. Oh, it is up there. Wow. They're good. He's good. He's good. She's good. Somebody up there is good. They're all good. But he says, to save you. Did you catch that? That's not salvation saving. But he's going where you go to fight where you fight, to battle where you battle, so that he can fight for you and that he can save you when you're in the midst of life and everything is going the way it should not be going. He says, I'm your God and I will be that for you. He says why in Joshua, because he said he will deliver you however he needs to. God will do what he needs to do for you to win, because the devil is going to do what he needs to do for you to lose. Let me say that again, because you need to get that. God will do for you what you need him to do so that you will win. Because the devil is going to do what he can do to make you lose, to make me lose. Joshua, again, fighting a battle. It's in Joshua 10, verse 10 through 14, I think. The Bible says it like this. Joshua is winning the battle. And I've talked about this before. Joshua's winning the battle. And, you know, when you're winning, you don't want it to end, right? Like, and you're in a football game, basketball game, whatever, and you're winning, you don't want the clock to tick down, right? You want to keep going because I want to just, you know, drive it home, win a little bigger, just make score a few more. So the Bible says that Joshua asked the Lord, I want you to stop the sun. And that's going to be after this. But look, right here's where I want to go to. Okay. All right. He says, would you stop the sun? We're winning. I want to keep winning. Please give me more time. Put more time on the clock. More time on the clock. So God says, okay, and he stops the sun and the moon, and it stands still. So that's one thing. One thing God did for Joshua in that moment was, I'll stop time. No other time has that ever happened, but he did it that day. Now, go back up to the other verse, verse 10 and 11, because here's where God comes in. Look what he did in verse 11. It came to pass that as they fled from Israel and were going down to Bethron, that the Lord cast down stones from heaven upon them. And they died. And they died. God killed them with hailstones. And more were killed with hailstones from God than were slew with the sword by Israel. God will do everything he can to make you win. If he has to throw rocks from heaven to destroy the enemy, if he has to stop the sun and the moon to destroy the enemy, whatever he has to do for you to win, that's what he's going to do. He will always do more than we do. He will always be better than we are. But he will do everything he can to make you win, because he knows the devil is doing what he can to make you lose. Now, back with Moses and lifting his hands. You know, he lifted his hands and that caused him to win, right? Lifting your hand is a form of praise and worship, form of worshiping God. You know that? Raising your hands is a form of worshiping God. So we come in here and we see people raise their hands, and sometimes one, sometimes two. Sometimes you see this, right? Sometimes you see the hanky. Sometimes you see him get up. Sometimes you see him walk. Sometimes you see him run. Sometimes you see him just get up and praise God and worship God. Moses raised his hands because that helped. Because when you raise your hands, when you praise the Lord, God's presence comes down. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we get in the midst of the battle, when we get in the midst of the fight, if we'll just raise our hands, we'll just praise the Lord. The Bible says that God's presence will come down in the midst of where you're at and what you're doing. And get all in the middle of your junk. Get all in the middle of your stuff. Get all in the middle of your mess. And you'll feel God just change things and make things happen and bring the victory. So what Moses did is what you can do. Moses raised his hands and praised God to victory, and that's what you can do. When you get in the middle and you feel like you're losing, you feel like the battle is going away, you feel like the devil's winning, if you'll just raise your hands, if you'll just wave your hands, if you'll just praise the Lord, if you'll just worship the Lord, you can praise your way to victory, and you can praise the way through it, and you can get to victory simply because you did nothing but lift up God and praise God, and God came down. He says, praise the Lord in his sanctuary by lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. What is a sanctuary? I looked it up. Sanctuary is a place of safety and refuge. Psalms 46:1 says, the Lord is our refuge and our strength. Our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. Very present help. Not just help. He's not just there a little bit. He's not just there sort of, kind of. But he's there as a very present help in time of trouble. God is there in the sanctuary. The world is his sanctuary. Your life is his sanctuary. The Bible says that your body is the temple of God. That's where God resides. That's where the sanctuary is. So your refuge and your strength is where God is. That's where you are. That's whatever situation is. That's where your life is. That's where the sanctuary is. Remember that when you lift your hands, remember that when you lift your voice, remember that when you lift your praise, that God says, I hear you and I come down to you. That's what happens when we get in here and people start to mind the Lord and obey the Lord, and people start to lift up their hands and start to shout and start to praise God. We see him come down. We see him come down. And you can do the same thing in your life. God will fight for you. God will be there. If you'll just lift up your voice, lift up your praise to him, he'll come down. So, building block number one, God will always make a way for you. Now, God is always watching over you. Number two, God will deliver you. Building block number three, God will always make a way for you. Joshua chapter 5 tells us about a crossing of the Jordan River. Now, the thing about this is they were getting ready to take the promised land. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that the Jordan River was overflowing in all of its banks. In another verse, all of its banks. It was the rainy season, and it was flooding everywhere, all over the place. And the Bible says that they had to get up and just walk. God told him, he said, just get up and walk. Just go. Tell them to go past. But God, it's wide and it's deep. It's like that song, Deep and Wide. You remember that song? You'll sing it? Deep. I ain't gonna lead you. You know that. Someone else had to start that one. All right, so it's deep and it's wide, and it's all over the place. The obstacles were all around us. Have you ever felt in life that obstacles were all around you? Have you ever felt like that there's something every way you turn, that the obstacle is there? If you turn over here, the obstacle is there. If you turn here, there's something all around you that's just like this. The Bible says that the water was everywhere. But God told him, he said, you just listen to me. You do what I say to do. If you walk after me, if you follow me, if you obey me, if you take these steps, you go and you take the ark and you go and you step. And when you step into the water, it's going to part and you're going to walk on dry land. That's just all there is to it. But you got to take that step. You got to take that step. And look what he told him to do. He said, when you're walking through, I want you to get 12 men. I want those 12 men to grab a big old rock, a big old stone as they go through here. You go through where the water was, not is, but was, because God makes that way. He said, you pick up those stones. When you get to the other side, I want you to build an altar. Now, why the altar, God? He asked him, why the altar? God says, so this, when your children say, what in the world is this altar for? You can say, God made a way. God made a way. So you remember when you're going through life, when you couldn't see a way, when there was no way, when there was no earthly, you know, like that saying, there's no earthly way? Well, there don't have to be an earthly way. We've got an out of this earth God. So when there's no earthly way, there's always a godly way. There's always a godly way. God is all around too. See, that's the good thing. That sometimes there's obstacles all around. Sometimes there's trials all around. Sometimes there's temptations all around. Sometimes there's battles all around. But know this, that there's God all around. There's God everywhere. Not gonna be. I wrote this. He's not gonna be. He is. He is all around. He is all around. So when you've got those obstacles, when you've got those things blocking your way, just remember this, that the eyes of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are at this obstacle, and the eyes of the Lord are over here at this obstacle, and the eyes of the Lord are over here at this obstacle. So whichever way I end up going, God is there. Whichever way you end up going, God is there, already there waiting on you. He is there. He's not going to be there. He's just there. Waiting, so if you go that way, he's going to be there. If I go this way, he's going to be there. No matter which way I turn. That's what David said in Psalms 139. He said, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? Nowhere. Heaven, hell, uttermost parts of the sea. He said, no matter where I go, it don't matter where I go. You're there. And that's the good thing, because no matter where we go, God's there to fight. No matter where we go, God's presence is there. No matter where we are, God is there. He's always made a way. Now, I thought about this real quick. The Red Sea, he parted it. Moses said, people, watch. Watch God move. He parted it so they'd walk on dry land. Gideon, 300 men. Gideon said, men, watch. Watch God deliver. And God made a way. Where there shouldn't have been a way, God made a way. Elisha and the servant, you know the story. Elisha and the servant, right? The servant goes out onto the porch, and there's the enemy surrounding the house. The servant goes back in, says, Elijah, we're done. Nice knowing you. I hope we're really ready because we're about to meet God. Elisha says, God, show him. Elijah says, you go out there and look again, and you watch and see. So he goes back out and he looks. Now, there's the enemy right around the house. There's God's army around the enemy. Outnumbered. Outnumbered. Whenever you think you're outnumbered, as long as you got God, you're not outnumbered. When you think there's no way, as long as you've got God, there's a way. Best one I like is Jesus and Peter. Peter says, can I come to you? He says, come on down. And Jesus says, watch and see. I think Peter would say, how can I come to you? Watch and see. I can't walk on water. You just watch and see. I'm going to sink. You just watch, take that step, and see. And Jesus provided the way. When there's no way, when you and I see no way, remember this. God always, always makes a way. God will always make a way for you. God will always make a way for me. God will always make a way through what you need a way through to what you need a way to. God is always on your side. Don't ever forget that. Building block number one. God is always watching over you. Number two, God will always deliver you. Number three, God will always make a way from you. Number four, and I'm just about done. Number four. This one is your own. This one is yours. This one is personal. This one goes back to this verse in Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Ask for the good paths. Look where that's at. Now, here's what I want to do real quick. I don't want to create anymore. I want to take a walk down your memory lane. I want you to create these next few memory building blocks of victory, because I want you to go back into your mind, into your memory, and pick out those moments where you were victorious, especially if they were when you didn't think you would be, when you didn't think you could be. We didn't see a way to do that. Why? Because you need to do what David did. You read that verse there in Samuel? He says, David was greatly distressed. Anybody in here ever been greatly distressed? If you have, raise your hand. The rest of you, liars. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Let's edit that out. You should never call people liars. I'm just kidding. Greatly distressed. For the people spake. Anybody been distressed because people were talking about killing you? I can say no, I've never had that happen. But David was. So he said, because the soul of people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. times when life gets rough and life gets bad and life gets hard, you have to turn to yourself to encourage yourself. So you need to create this building block, this massive structure, this massive mountain, this massive set of building blocks of memory, building blocks of victory, so you can go back to that. Now, I thought about it this way real quick. What made me, am I as excited as I'm as fired up as I used to be? Now, remember, preachers, this is from 2 months ago. All right, 2 months ago. What made you the way you were when you first got saved? How fired up you were and how excited you were. What was your old ways? Because it doesn't matter what they did 100 years ago. We aren't here 100 years ago. It doesn't matter what my great-grandfather did, because I'm not my great-grandfather. What got you excited and what got me excited about the Lord and what caused us to be victorious back in that day? Would you say you went to church more? Look at somebody and say, you need to go to church more. Now look back at that person and say, you need to go to church more. Would you say you read your Bible more? Look at somebody else and say, you need to read your Bible more. Now look back and tell them. You know, some people ain't saying, you're not saying it because you know you're going to get it back to you, right? Yeah, somebody's giving me two thumbs up on that one. Would you say you prayed more? You know, look at yourself and say, you need to pray more. Because that's what got us fired up. That's what got us excited. And back then, we were victorious through every part of life. Doesn't matter what came our way. So right now, I want you to take a second, 1 second, and just think about a time that you were victorious through a trial, a temptation, a fight, a battle. And create your building blocks. Because tomorrow, when the fight comes, you can go back to that building block. Was there a time that God watched over you? Was there a time that God delivered you? Was there a time that God fought for you? Was there a time that God made a way for you? Was there a time that God was strong for you? Create that tower, big, bold, and strong, of building blocks. So tomorrow, I can look back and I can say, God, you and me are not falling down. We got this. God, we got this. This morning, do you need Jesus? Do you need Jesus for anything? If you do, as we stand, as we get a song, if you need Jesus, he's here. Come get him.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, remind me.
Of memories of God providing because you're not saved. You need that first building block. It all starts with the day we give our heart to Jesus. The first building block, the first block in our foundation, the cornerstone of what we build on, that's Jesus. So if you don't have him in your heart this morning, or he's not what he should be in your heart this morning, come and let's start that building block. Let's start that tower this morning.
Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose our road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord.
Amen, amen. Just remember, build your tower of your own building blocks of victory. Because tomorrow you just might need to cling to that. Anybody have anything? I know I've got some announcements. I do have announcements. Anybody else have announcements? All right. GCC Kids. If you've got a child in GCC Kids, they're going to be in Foundations classroom. It's in the back hallway across the nursery. They're not going to be over in the gym because of the dinner. Okay. So stop by there, pick them up, then go have lunch. All right, everybody come over and have lunch, whether you're donating or not, doesn't matter. Just enjoy fellowship, get to know somebody. I always tell the kids at the retreat, if there's somebody here that you don't know their name, find out their name before you leave. So if there's somebody here that you don't know their name, go find out their name before you leave today. All right, fellowship, have a good time, grow. Now, second one. Let me give you one in between those two. I have, again, the bag of clothes and stuff from the retreat. If your kid didn't bring everything home with them, it'll be over in the gym. It's behind the net that's pulled out, a big bag. So if I'm not there, just go through the big bag. Third, I need to see the board real quick. One question, 2 minutes. All right? So if everybody would bow your heads.